following message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's word.
Good morning. Take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. For those of you wondering what in the world is going on, I've having some kind of nerve issues, and so this past month has been terrible. But this past week, just to give you an update, I did have an MRI, and I have two herniated discs in my back that's causing apparently part of the pain. And so you can just pray tomorrow as I go to see a doctor that they will be able to hopefully give some insight in regards to what's going on. My text that I am holding to through this is Mark 7, where it says, Jesus does all things well. And so through this, I am clinging to his hope and his sovereign plan. When we choose to follow him, it does not promise us that we will have everything perfectly well or perfectly healthy. So I'm holding to him. But I do thank you for your support. Many of you have brought meals to our home, and many of you have prayed for us. So I just want to say thank you for being a good church family to us during this time. It is good also to have Jared back with us as well. As many of you know, he and his family returned from getting their son, Gideon, and so that Audrey and Gideon will not be here with us for some time as they continue to adjust and bond, if you will. I guess they call it the cocooning phase, I think is the proper term, where able to really connect and know that's mom and dad, but we're thankful for God bringing them home safely and for them to actually have their son. It's a blessing. If you haven't seen pictures, you can look on Facebook and see some of those cute pictures, and those two sisters of his are already giving him a run for his money based on what I can tell in the pictures. We're thankful for God's blessing. Today we're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers 14 with the title of Fear or Faith, or Faith or Fear. As many of you know, this past week, last Sunday, I presented a recommendation on behalf of Jared and I as we're moving forward as a church to consider changing our name from First Baptist Church of Lacombe to Redemption Church. I'm not going to rehash all those reasons why, but we do have a handout that's available to you. You can see that. It's in the foyer, and I definitely want to encourage you to listen to that particular sermon. If you are a member, when we vote on that next week, then you part of that requirement is you need to have listened to the sermon, have been here or watched it online or got a CD copy of that. But I know that as we are considering that and moving forward, that there's two responses that we can have as a church, and that is either faith or fear. And the lesson that we're going to see today in this text that's before us is something I want us to learn from as Moses is sending out his 12 spies to go into the promised land. These two responses that were there, were those who had fear because it was something new. It was something that seemed dangerous. It was something that seemed like a territory that was overwhelming to them. Then there were two out of the 12 that said, but God said that we can do this. And so as we're listening to this text today and thinking about us as we move forward as a church, there's definitely the concern, I'm sure, that maybe some of you have the fear, maybe we're letting go of a heritage or a name that we've had for so long. But then there's those of you who may have the faith that say, but we can move forward with this. And so as we look at this text today, I just want you to hear what God is saying to us today from this text, and that as we move forward as a church, that fear can paralyze us. Fear can polarize us in our individual walks and our walk as a church. God has called us to have faith for the very beginning of salvation, and he calls us to have faith to take steps sometimes that are maybe challenging, maybe that are new, and maybe that are different, and maybe it's maybe a little fearful for us. But I want you to hear what I'm going to say. Fear will never allow you to succeed. Fear will never allow you to have failure. Faith will allow you to either succeed or to fail. But fear never gives you either one of those options. Because fear will keep you back from staying where you are instead of taking that step in regards. And sometimes as a church, there are things that we feel as leadership that we put before you that it's a faith step for us as we embark upon this next step of what we've recommended to you as a church. And we understand that it is a new step and a new beginning for us, if you would, a recasting in regards to who we are. But I want you to see what we can learn from Numbers 13 and Numbers 14 with the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, and the 10 who were there, both having these two kind of responses of faith and or fear. And even though that we listen to this, this doesn't necessarily have to be related to our name as a church. This also happens to you as your walk in the Lord. That we all have times where God calls us to do something, that we know that He's calling us to do it, but sometimes we're afraid to take that step. Now here's the thing I want you to understand. When you let fear rule your decision, what you're depending upon is your own power and your own ability. When you rely on faith, you're relying upon God to do the impossible. Because fear says, I can't do this. Fear says, I don't know if that's right. But faith says, with God, I can do this. With God, I'm going to take this step. Let's just take it in a couple examples, if you will. Let's take even just sharing the gospel or evangelism. Has anybody ever been afraid to share the gospel with somebody? Has anybody been afraid to open up your mouth? Sure, probably all of us would. In fear in that moment, we're saying, well, what if I say something, I might say the wrong thing. If I speak up, then I might get the scriptures confused. But faith says, I'm going to trust that God can help me in this moment to say what needs to be said. That's faith or fear. It could be even when you're trying to make some decisions, when you know clearly that if there's a decision, for example, of a sin that may be in your life that you know you need to let go of. Fear says, this is what I've done for so long. Why do I want to let go of this? Faith says, this is going to be hard, but by God's grace, I'm going to say no to this. Faith or fear is involved in all of our areas of our life. And when it comes to us as a church, Jesus' church is built upon the premise of faith. Even when Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ, what did Jesus say? Upon this rock I'm going to build my church. What was the rock that he was referring to? The rock wasn't Peter as the person. The rock was the faith that was expressed by Peter in that very moment. When Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ. And Jesus says, that's what I'm going to build my church upon. Folks, as a church, and standing in front of us, God is doing great things in our church. And as I mentioned to you last week, this step doesn't mean that we're doing things wrong. This step means we're just trying to make the light brighter in regards to our church and our outreach and wanting a name that reflects not history, reflects the gospel, which is the heart of who we are, to proclaim to people that redemption is possible through Jesus Christ. And I believe that Numbers 13 and Numbers 14 has some lessons for us to learn from. And I just want to challenge you that as you're sitting here this morning to ask yourself this question, even in your own individual life, are you walking in faith? Are you trusting to take the steps sometimes that are sometimes bold, sometimes courageous, and sometimes it may not make sense to you? The reality is, if you look at the Bible, and we're going to look at some of these examples, oftentimes God called His people to do some things that really didn't make sense to them. But He called them to do it because He wanted them to trust Himself, to prove Himself glorious, to prove Himself that He was the God over the impossible. Let me give you one example from the beginning. Did it make sense for Jesus to say to Peter, Peter, walk on the water to me? Does that make sense? Fear would say, I'll sink. Faith would say, because He said it, even though it's against the impossible, I'm going to do it anyways. That's just one example. And so I want us as a church to be courageous. I want us as a church to move forward in faith so that we can get God all the glory that He deserves. Not just to sit in what's comfortable. Want us to be able to march forward and say, with God, we can do this. Numbers 13 and Numbers 14 is where we're going to be today. And as we talk about this passage of Scripture, I want us just to begin at verse 1 through verse 3. The story that we're looking at is the fact of Moses and the Israelites were just coming out of Egyptian bondage, and God was giving them a promise that they were going to get to go into the promised land. So before they go in, Moses is going to charge 12 people, one man from each tribe, to go check it out. Let's go spy it out to see what it's like. Now, Moses chose some very important leaders. Now, I want you to understand this, and I've said this to you before. So goes the leadership, so goes the people. Now, he chose some leaders. Now, understand something. God's hand was over this. His sovereign hand was over all of this. But understand something. There are two people who were here that saw God over the difficulties. Faith sees beyond what we see with our natural eye. Faith sees through the natural to see the supernatural, to see the impossible, to see what God can do. So even if you're sitting here this morning, I want to encourage you, even as we're looking at this, and I'm talking about related to the church, I want you to think about in your own lives right now. If you have a situation in your life with your family, with your job situation, with finances, with relationships, and you're saying it's not possible, I want to encourage you today that you listen to what God says about faith. I want to remind you today about the God who is the God of the impossible. I want you to hold true to that. And I want you to claim that God is able to do beyond what you can see. Because right now, even if you're sitting here, you may have some difficult circumstances that you're looking at and you say, I don't see a way through this. I don't see how God's going to be able to do anything. That's where faith has to kick in. That's where faith has to be able to say, yes, it seems impossible to me, but God is the one who's over all these things and God is able. Let's read this text. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them, men who were heads of the people of Israel. Let me give you the first truth I want you to see this morning, and that is this. Faith to move forward is rooted in God's promises. Faith to move forward is rooted in God's promises. Let me tell you what I'm not saying. Faith is not rooted in emotion. Faith is not rooted in a cheerleading session. You can psych yourself up and build yourself up and say, let's go do this. But if it's contrary to the truth of God's word, that's not faith. That's foolishness. Faith is rooted in what God's word says. For example, when we go back to talking about what Jesus says about the church, Jesus says, I will build my church in Matthew chapter 16. So when we make decisions to move forward and do some things that are courageous for the church, it's not rooted in emotionalism. It's not rooted in a cheerleading session. Say, we can do this. It's rooted in the fact of what God has said. And so when Moses is about to send people into the promised land, which is a land that they've not been in, a land that may be dangerous, it's rooted in the fact of what God said to them. Do you notice what God said in verse 2? Look at it again. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I, what? Am giving to the people of Israel. What was the promise that God made to them? It's yours. So what we're about to read and about what happens is a sad story because of what God had said was already granted to them. God promised them, I'm giving this to you. So the 12 spies should be able to say, that's awesome. Let's go. Let's go check it out. And let's come back and tell everybody what it is. Moses didn't doubt God. Do you know why Moses didn't doubt God? Because what does it say in verse 3? What does it say Moses did? So Moses sent them from the wilderness to Canaan. Moses is sending the people because he believes what God says. Moses is not doubting that God is going to give them this land. Moses could say, God, that place is full of terrible people. I know the history of those people. I know there's wicked people that's there. I know it's bad area that's there. But what does Moses do? He takes 12 men and he trusts those 12 men to the promise that God has given him. And he's saying, we're going to go do this. But do you realize that this promise that God gave Moses actually happened almost 600 years prior to this? Let me show you. Turn to the book of Genesis with me. And I want you to look at Genesis chapter 12. Now, we're talking about Moses here. And I want to take you all the way back to Abraham, which is considered the father of the Israelite nation. Now, Abraham had been called by God to leave a land that was his homeland to go. And as he goes into this place, I want you to see what God says about this land of Canaan. Some 600 years. How many years? 600 years before Moses' time. Notice, begin with me, if you would, at verse... Well, it'd help if I'm in Genesis, wouldn't it? I was looking at that passage of Scripture, and I'm like, man, that's not even nowhere close to what that's supposed to say. Genesis chapter 12. I'm blaming it on the medicine again this week. Anytime I make a mistake, I'm blaming it on the medicine, all right? Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions, and they had gathered, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of where? Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Notice what God says. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. Now skip to chapter 14. Or chapter 15, excuse me. Chapter 15 of Genesis, verse 12. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in the land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. Do you know what that's referring to? That's referring to the Israelite bondage when they went to Egypt. Do you know how many years they were in Egypt? 400 years. Verse 14, but I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. Do you know what happened when the Israelites came out of Egypt? They came out with great possessions. The people of Egypt gave them all these kind of possessions. This is a promise that God has given some 600 years prior to that time. Verse 15, as for yourself, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here. In the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your offspring, I give this land. Folks, when you get over to Numbers chapter 13, and God is speaking to Moses, it's not a new promise. It's a renewed promise. It's a promise that God had given. And let me understand something. Moses knew the truths of the word. Moses knew because it was an oral culture. So when Moses speaks to his people and says, I want you to go, he's building off of a promise that God gave them. God gave them to us. And here's the question. If God says go, why do we say no? He's promising this land is yours, regardless of what the land looks like. Regardless of the difficulties that are in front of you. Moses says, God says, it's ours, so go get it. And so he sends them to spy it out. Now understand something. Some people say, well, he's getting to spy it out because he wants to know whether or not they should go. That's not why he's sending them out there. Look with me if you would. Skip down to verse 17 of Numbers chapter 13. The purpose of Moses sending people to spy out the land was not to make a decision whether or not they could go get it. The purpose of sending the spies to go check out the land was to see what they were supposed to do when they got to the land. Do you understand the difference? The difference is if Moses sent the people to spy it out to make a decision, oh yeah, that's difficult, then Moses would be living in fear. But Moses is not living in fear. Moses is living in faith. His purpose of sending them was to say, what's it going to be like and what are we going to have to do to get there? Because listen to me, because God promises it to us doesn't necessarily mean the promises don't come without challenge. Everything doesn't come to us on a silver platter and everything is easy. Listen, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So guess what that means? He's going to come against the church as the church moves forward. The gates of Hades are going to come against us. But the promise is, it's not going to win. The promise is, he's going to win. But the promise doesn't come without challenge and difficulty at times. So look at me, if you would, at verse 17, Numbers chapter 13. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up into the Negev and go into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they're few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Listen to his word. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe of grapes. Now listen, Moses is telling him, just go check it out. Come back and let me know if it's a stronghold or let me know if it's a camp. Let me know if the land is good or let me know if the land is bad. Do you know why? Because Moses was going to be able then to orchestrate the army to be able to go into this land. It wasn't that he was fearful. He was doing due diligence and he was doing his homework to say, God gave it to us, but what do we need to check out before we take this step? So for us as believers, and there's things that God calls us to do, we don't walk into things blindly. You do due diligence. You check out your homework. But you say, if God said this is what we can do, then we can move forward in this. And you claim that promise. Now I want you to understand something. What happens from this point forward, you have two groups of people. There's a splitting of ways, if you will. The second point that I want you to see is this. Fear sees circumstances. But faith sees through the circumstances and holds to the promises of God. Do you hear that? Fear sees the circumstance, but faith sees through the circumstance. Understand this. The 12 spies see the exact same thing. They see the exact same thing. It wasn't like the 10 spies who come back and give a bad report saw these giants, and Joshua and Caleb see these miniature people and come back and say, the people I saw are small. And the 10 people come back and say, oh man, I saw giants. No, they're seeing the exact same thing. Understand this. Your faith changes your perspective on what you see. Sometimes I think our faith is so small that we're limiting what God is able to do. First Baptist Lacombe, listen to me. We have a God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think. You say, where do you get that? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And that's a promise I'm going to stand on until I die. Because I believe that God can take a church and be a beacon of hope. I believe that God can take a group of people like us and do more than we can ask or think. I believe He can take us and give us boldness. I believe He can take us and He can equip us. And so I stand on the promises of God. I'm not looking at the circumstance around us. I'm not looking to say, well, we're only about 100 and something people. No, that's fear. Faith says God can do something amazing with the people who are here. We trust Him. And so I want you to see this. Look at me if you would. Let's look at verse 25. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought that word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They're at least doing what Moses told them to do, right? They at least obeyed that aspect. Verse 27. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey and this is its fruit. Now, if you stop right there, that seems good, right? It's flowing with milk and honey. The fruit is good. But notice the danger of this first word. However. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the Jordan. Skip down to verse 31. Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the son of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them. Oh my goodness, giants and spiders and goodness, oh my!" I think there's a little exaggeration going on here. Because if you look at verse 32, it says they're devouring the inhabitants. They didn't see the inhabitants get devoured. What happened is their fear began to alter their thinking of what they saw. Do you see it? In this moment, what got trumped was not the promise of God. What got trumped was their fear of looking at around them and seeing all the stuff that was there. And they begin to embellish all that was there. And they begin to say, "Man, we're like grasshoppers." Here's what I want you to understand. Fear will cause you to doubt the truths of God. It will polarize you. It will stop you in your tracks from doing what God says He can do. It will polarize you from sharing the gospel with someone who may have an ungodly lifestyle. It will polarize you from stepping across and talking to your neighbor. It will polarize you from leading your family to be godly and say, "Let's pray, let's kneel down and pray for this." It will polarize you from grabbing a hold of what God says. But faith is expressed in verse 30. Just one verse in the midst of this fearfulness. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb's statement wasn't rooted in Caleb's physical strength. Caleb's faith was not rooted in the men who were around him because they were fearful. Caleb's faith was rooted in what God told Moses. "This is your land. Go get it." And Caleb, even though that the stuff in front of him seems impossible, listen, Caleb saw the exact same stuff that the 10 spies saw. He saw the Anak, and he saw the giants, and he saw all the good fruit. So he comes back not distressed or discouraged. What he sees is victory that God can give over the things that seem impossible. That's faith. And folks, that's the way we need to live as believers. That's the way we need to live as a church. Is to be able to trust that God is able to march us forward. Fear looks at things and we say, "I'm not sure about this." Faith says, "Let's go, let's do this. Let's march forward." And church, I want you to understand, I believe, fully believe, that God is orchestrating something good here. His Spirit is moving in our midst. He's working in our hearts and drawing us closer together. Lives are being changed, uniting in us. And as by God's grace, He's blessed us financially that we're going to be able to hopefully build this year. And as we march forward and take some steps, and as you prayerfully consider this name change, we're taking some steps that I believe are courageous, that are faith-filled. And although we look at that and we say, "I'm not so sure about that," but faith says, "I'm going to trust God to march through this step, to trust that the doors that are in front of us, that God is going to open them wide to be able to reach more people for the gospel." I want to reach people for the gospel. I want to see people redeemed. And so I'm like Caleb here, and I'm saying, "Let's go. Let's take the steps that are necessary. Let's be courageous and certainly continue to do what we're doing, continue to disciple people, continue the things that are there. But let's take some steps and say, God, what is it in front of us that you want us to do that are impossible for us, but are possible for you?" Caleb was not the only one. There was another man named Joshua who stood by his side and he was willing to go. And he was willing to take and say, "Let's go." What circumstances are in front of you that you're afraid of right now? What's paralyzing you. Maybe you're afraid of your ability. Even when it comes to even doing things for the Lord, even if it is even teaching a small group or serving in some capacity, and you say, I'm not able. You've just made the first statement of truth. None of us are able. But God is able through us. Good story. Wednesday nights, we have our adult teaching, and we have our youth teaching, and we have our children's teaching with Awana, and some of those workers are having to rotate and teach. The fear of some is saying, I can't do this. But I've heard some of those who were fearful, as they took some of those steps of faith, have ended up doing awesome in their teaching. Stephanie Garrison. God has stretched her. Fear would keep you from doing it, and faith stepping out. And what happened? Now she's taught on Sunday mornings while Miss Martha was away taking care of her mother. God stretched her. Fear would say, no way, I'm not going to do this. Faith says, with God, I'm going to do everything that I possibly can. And guess what happened? Now we have another teacher. Praise God. That's faith and fear. Trusting that God can help us and move us past that threshold of difficulty. But I want to show you something. Fear would keep us comfortable when faith can move us forward. We all like to be comfortable, don't we? We don't want our boat rocked. We don't want our world to be different. This is the way it is. This is my thing. I have it. This is my routine. And even when it comes to church, sometimes we like it this way. And when something new comes along the way, we're like, I'm not so sure about that. Fear would keep us comfortable, but realizing that sometimes we have to step out of comfort to move forward. Let me show you. Look at chapter 14. I want you to see that the fear of the people, of the 10 spies, highly impacted the people of Israel. Their fear gave them a sense of false reality. Let me show it to you. Look at verse 1. All the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. Guess who they listened to? They listened to the 10 spies. Listen to the negative report instead of listening to the faith cry. Verse 2. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? Do you remember what Egypt was like? Egypt was slavery. Egypt was oppressive. Egypt was a place that they had to work. And they were crying out for 400 years for mercy. And now they're saying, let's go back there. Because it was what they were used to. Fear makes you want to go back to what's comfortable rather than saying, you know what? It's going to be a challenge, but we're going to trust God to take us out of this space of comfort and let's go in this other place that God is leading us, because even though it may not seem comfortable to us, it's going to be better for us. Do you know who drives fear? Satan drives fear. The Epistle of John says, perfect love casts out fear. Folks, this is what I'm saying to us. If we want to be comfortable, there are many churches throughout our nation. There's 46,000 Southern Baptist churches that's a part of our denomination. And many of them, 80% of them are plateaued or declining. Do you know why? Because they're not willing to step in faith. They're not willing to take some courageous steps for the gospel. They like to keep things exactly the way they are. And guess what happens? If you keep things exactly the way they are, you're only going to reach the people who's in the walls. Folks, church is for the glory of God and for the sake of the lost. We're here, and sometimes we may have to do some things that may make us a little uncomfortable. But guess what? It's not about you and me. We do what it takes to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, you just care about numbers. Let me make very clear to you. If it means people coming to the gospel and being saved, yes, I care about numbers. I am not about just bragging about a number of people who are here. I want to brag on God and let God bring the people and see people come to the kingdom. Do I want to see this church multiply exponentially with hundreds and thousands of people? Yes, I do. Because I want to see people who've been rescued from the pits of hell. I want to see people who've been rescued from addiction. That people who have heard about the gospel through your mouth and through my mouth and through the stories that we're telling. And then we see a church with people hands raised because they once were bound and now they're set free. So do I care? Yes, I care. I'm going to be Joshua and Caleb for you. And Jared and I, as your pastors, are saying, let's go. Let's move forward. Let's take this courageous step. Do it for the sake of God and reach people. I'm telling you, I'm praying that when that building goes up over there, that we're already two or three services when we get to that point. That first Sunday, we're going to be smack full, and some of you have to sit on the floor and bring a pallet, wherever you have to sit. I believe that God wants to bring a harvest. Do you think God wants to save people? Yes. You know what one of His promises is? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Let's be the laborers so that the harvest can come in for the sake of His name and the sake of His glory. They wanted to go back to Egypt. But do you think that Caleb and Joshua stayed quiet? No. When you've got someone of faith that is believing in the promises of God, they're not going to let one opposition keep them down. They're going to say, are you kidding me? Look what he says in chapter 14. Look what he says in verse 8. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Caleb was saying, hey, why are you fearing? God is with us. Are you kidding me? That people are nothing in the sight of God. Let's move forward because God delights in us. If He takes joy in us, He's going to give it to us. Why? Not for our sake, but for His glory and for His renown. Listen to me. Anytime we take steps of faith and we do things for God, it's never about us. It's always so that God gets the glory and that we never take the credit for it. And He said, let's move forward for it. Faith can move us forward. See, there was a group of them that said, hey, I'm fine just right here. Let's stay here. But Joshua and Caleb said, I'm tired of the wilderness. I'm tired of Egypt. I want what God has for us. Listen, I want to say this to you. When you experience God and you taste Him deeply, you can't be satisfied with anything else. You got to have the meat. When you get used to expository teaching of the Word, you got to have the meat. When you get used to solid worship, you can't settle for anything else. You gotta have good worship. When you've been in the presence of God and His presence is with you, you can't settle for anything else. You say, I gotta go get to the well. I'm dry. I gotta get it. And Joshua and Caleb have been touching into the well, and he wants the people to get the well. Hey, God can do this. Let's go. Listen. God, as I was just looking this week and studying this passage of Scripture, there are numerous times where God asked His people to do some faith steps, some risky things, to move them forward. Let me remind you of a few. Let me remind you of Noah in Genesis chapter 6. And all of the earth, the Bible says that God found one man who was righteous. His name was Noah. It hasn't rained. It hasn't flooded. But God comes to Noah and says, Noah, I'm going to bring judgment on the land, and I want you to build an ark. And here's the dimensions. How big? But fear would say to Noah, God, they're going to make fun of me. It's not rain. It's going to take me 100 years. Are you kidding me? Fear would say, I don't have a power saw. Fear would say, how am I going to do this? Fear would say, God, that's going to take a lot of work. I might hurt my back. Fear would say, they're going to mock me as I build this. But faith says, even though it's not rain, God, and it's dry out here, if you say you're going to do that, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to start cutting down trees, and I'm going to start building this ark. I'm going to trust you, God. Faith moved him forward, and because he took the step of faith, guess what happened? After 100 years, guess what took place? It rained. It flooded, and the rain came, and guess what? Noah and his family were safe because he trusted God. Let me remind you of Abram. In Genesis chapter 12, when God called Abram from his homeland, Abram, I want you to leave Haran and I want you to go to the land of Canaan. Leave your family. Abram could have said, but Lord, this is my place of comfort. Everybody is here that I know. This is all of my family. But what does Abram do? He gets up and he leaves. Faith says, I'm going to go. Fear would say, God, I'm not going to know anybody there. What did he do? He left. Genesis chapter 22, Abraham. God wakes up Abraham and says, Abraham, you are to sacrifice your only son. Wait a minute, God. The nation that you promised was to come through my offspring, and this is my only offspring. Fear would say, God, you don't know what you're doing. I'm not going to take my son and sacrifice him. You've got to be making a mistake. Maybe it's somebody else. But faith says, no, because you said I'm going to do this. I'm going to take my son, and I'm going to sacrifice him and offer him to you. And if you actually read the text in Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, as Abraham is at the bottom of the mountain, do you know what he says to his servants? He says to his servants here, holding the animals there, he says these words, stay here with the donkey. I am the boy. We'll go over there and worship, and we will come again to you. Do you know what Abraham believed? He believed even if he sacrificed his son, which was the offspring, he apparently believed that God was going to be able to raise him up. Fear would say, I'm not doing it. How about Moses? They're leaving the Egyptian slavery. Pharaoh says they could go, but as they're about to leave and they're getting close to the Red Sea, guess who was marching behind them? The Egyptian army and Pharaoh. And they get to the Red Sea, and God does something phenomenal there. He puts the wall of fire between them, and they're standing there at the Red Sea. And God says to Moses, Moses, I want you to take your staff and just stretch it out over the Red Sea. Now, fear would say, are you kidding, God? Isn't there something else you want me to do? You want me to do a dance or something? You want me to say a couple of words? Fear would say, God, are you kidding me? They're behind us. You got to wipe them out. But God is not saying wipe them out. God wants him not to look behind them. God wants him to look in front of him. Stretch it out, Moses. And he stretches it out. Guess what happens? The sea parts. And they walk across the dry land. And once the last one gets across, the water closes over the Egyptian army. And they're safe. Faith says, God, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to do what you said. How about Joshua and the Jordan River? For you see, the water had parted more than one time. Joshua gets to the Jordan River and they need to cross. And God gives him very clear instructions. He says, Joshua, I want you to take the priest, and I want the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant, and I want them just to step into the water, and I want them to hold the Ark of the Covenant, and once they step into the water's going to part. Now Joshua could have said, Lord, Moses stretch out his staff. Why can't I take my staff and stretch it out? Fear would say, this doesn't make any sense. We've got to step into the water with our ankles, and then you're going to make the water part. But faith of Joshua says, priest, get in the water, hold the ark, and guess what happened? The Jordan River parted, and the people were able to cross the land. Faith was trusting what God said, even though it was something different than what God told Moses. And then, I'm not done yet, okay? Then how about the Battle of Jericho? Joshua, I want you to take your people and I want you to march around Jericho one time for 6 days. But on the last day, I want you to march seven times. And on that seventh time, I want you to blow your trumpets and I want you to scream. Cannons would be better. I think the wall would come down with cannons. Now, fear would say, God, if we do this, those people on the wall are going to mock us. And I'm sure they probably did every time they walked around Jericho. And on that seventh time, I'm sure that they stood on that wall, and as Joshua walked around Jericho with his people, and they stood against the wall, and as they began to scream, God began to make the walls crack, and began to make those walls come down. Fear would say, this is foolish, but faith says, because God said it, I'm going to do it. And they did what God said exactly as they did it. How about Gideon? In the book of Judges, the Midianites were coming against the people of Gideon, the people of Israel, and God raised up a man named Gideon to be the man who was going to lead the people of Israel against them. He was in the wine press. He was hiding. He was threshing out his grapes because the Midianites were coming and taking all their things. And God calls him and says, Gideon, you're the man. You're going to lead these people. And so Gideon gets an army together, 32,000 people. But the Bible says that the Midianites were so much in number that they were as like the sand on the sea. That's a vast army. And then God says to Gideon, Gideon, I want you to tell the men if any of them are afraid, they can go home. You know how many left? 22,000 men left. Now we're down to 10,000. And then God says it's too many. Too many? And here's the reason why. God says to Gideon, it's too many because if they win, they will brag on themselves. I want them to know that it's God. So he takes them down and they do a water test. Those who lap the water or those who pick up their hand. And they windle it down all the way to 300 men against an army that's as vast as the sand on the sea. And he breaks them up into three particular groups. They all take a torch. They all take a trumpet. And they stand around the perimeters. And Gideon says, do as I do. And as they break the torch and they blow the horn, the army crowds upon themselves and they defeat themselves. And God gets the victory and Gideon's army doesn't lay one hand on them. Now, fear would say, God, are you kidding me? You just sent 30,000 people back. And you want me to do this with 300 men? But faith doesn't question what God says. For you see, faith is about God proving Himself as a mighty God. Faith is about showing that He's the one who can do the impossible with things that seemingly are impossible. And you know the great story of David and Goliath. Man, what a story. He walks up to the army, and the army had been polarized. You know why they had been polarized? Fearful because of this giant. The giant kept saying, come on out, show me somebody. And David walks up. He's just a messenger boy at this time. He's taking food and things to his brother, and he hears it. He hears the guy mocking the nation of Israel, and God and David lights a fire in him. God spurs him on, and he says, who are you to defy the name of God? I'll come to you. You come to me with a spear and sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And man, that rock flung. Fear was to say, he's a giant. Faith said, God is the giant, not you. Folks, I'm saying this to you. We're looking at Numbers 13 and Numbers 14 as us as a church, and we're seeing what's in front of us. Knowing that this name change is something new and something different for us. But I'm saying to us, let's not be fearful, but let's trust in faith to march forward and say, God, if this is your will, let's move forward as a church and reach many people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know what's at stake between faith and fear? God's glory. Go back to Numbers chapter 14. In Numbers chapter 14, I want you to see that anytime faith or fear is our choice, God's glory is what's always at stake. Always. Look at verse 11. We're going to read verse 11 and down. I want you to see what Moses says was at stake because the people were not going to obey and the punishment that God was going to bring upon them. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people despise me? How long will they not believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? Do you know all the signs that God has done among them? He's parted the Red Sea. He's done 10 plagues of miracles and protected them through all of them. He clothed them, gave them great possessions when they left out of the Egyptian bondage. Are those not great signs for the people of Israel to know of God's hand? Sure they are. But fear has a way of giving us amnesia to make us forget. And notice what God says. I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of them, of you, a nation greater and mightier than they. But Moses said to the Lord, but then the Egyptian will hear of it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them. And they will tell the inhabitants of this land, they have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen face to face, and your clouds stand over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard your fame or your glory or your renown, and they will say, it's because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land that he swore to give them, that he has killed them in the wilderness. And now, please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised. Folks, hear what Moses is saying. God, I want your name to be held high. God, I don't want your fame to be defamed. God, I don't want your glory to be taken away because of these people's disobedience. And so God says, I'm going to pass over them, but they're not going to enter the promised land. They're not going to be destroyed. So understand this. God wanted to wipe them out, but Moses interceded and he left them for the sake of his glory. But listen to me, this is what's at stake. God's glory is at stake for First Baptist Church of Lacombe and for every church who bears the name of Christ. The things that we do either defame his name or magnify his name. We want to make much of God and not much of us. And so, church, what lies before us is a courageous step. And this name change, trusting that it's a step that God is giving us to make his name more clear, the gospel more clear. And I'm just asking us as a church to pray through that and trust that God would bring us to unity in this. But in addition to that, some of you who are in this room, you know that God has been challenging you to take some steps of faith in your own individual life and walk. And fear has paralyzed you. You've given every excuse in the world to not do whatever it is that God is calling you to do. And I'm here to be a Joshua and Caleb for you this morning, to tell you whatever it is, trust God. Step in faith. It may be to make some very hard decisions for your family. It may be that you have to get rid of things for the sake of God. It may be that you need to add some things for the sake of God in your family. There may be some steps that you need to take at work that's risky, courageous. And you've been fearful to do it because you're afraid of what people may say. Maybe some steps with your business. Maybe some steps in relationships. Maybe some steps in finances. Maybe God has burdened your heart to be able to trust God as you give weekly of your tithes. And you're saying, I don't know if I can do this, but faith says God is provider of all those things. Fear says, I can't do it. But faith says, God, I'm going to give it to you for the sake of the gospel through the ministry of the church. That's faith, trusting that God. Listen, every time I give, it's always a test of faith to say, God, I trust that you're the one who provides every penny in my bank account. Fear says, I got to figure it out. And faith says, it's all his anyways. And I give it to you. Some of you in this room, God is burdening your heart to share the gospel with someone, but fear has strapped you. But today I'm fanning the flame for you to have faith. Be courageous at your workplace. Be courageous in your family. To be willing to take a step and step across that threshold of that faith step and trust that God's going to give you the words to say. Failure is better than not trying at all. But let me say this to you. You can never fail when you speak the name of Jesus. Faith or fear for you? Some of you in this very room may have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you're fearful of making that public for whatever reason. Maybe fearful of stepping forward to make it known through baptism. Maybe fearful to even tell someone, and it's been private for you. I want to say this to you. Being saved is a personal relationship, but it's never a private thing. God calls us publicly. Because Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. And some of you in this room may have made that decision, and it's time for you to say, I want people to know I'm a child of the King of Kings. If that's you, step out and be faithful. There may be other things that God's calling you to do, and I don't know every one of them. I can't list them all, but the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, you know what they are. But church, let's be a church that lives in faith and not in fear. Let's pray. Father, you are a God of faith. It is faith which brings us to you. And then we live by faith. Father, specifically for us as a church, as we're considering this name change, I know it's new and I know it's different. But God, we're praying that you would give us unity in that as we move forward in faith. Father, we want to be a church that lives courageously, that lives with boldness, that stands upon the promises that you give us in your word. God, we don't want to live in comfort. We want to march forward and to be able to do all that you've called us to do. God, we want to reach this town. We want to be a beacon of hope on the North Shore for the sake of the gospel. God, we want to see people redeemed. We want redemption to be known in regards for people, what they can come to, that you're redeeming God. God, I know that there are some in this room this morning that you've taken this very word and that you have challenged them. Lord, you know what their issues are. The fear that has trapped them from doing what's necessary. The fear of stepping in obedience to leave behind a sin and to step in faith to walk in holiness. God, give those people courage. Maybe there's a fear of speaking your name to a family member, a co-worker. God, give faith this week and courage for someone to open up their mouth and to speak the gospel. God, if there are those who are fearful to take some intentional steps to lead their family to be more godly, to pray together, to read the word together, God, give them faith this week to take those steps. God, if there are those who have fear with their finances, afraid to give to you because they feel that they can't spare one penny, God, give them faith to believe that you are the God who owns everything in this universe. And you are a good provider. Oh God, I pray that whatever are in front of us, that your people that's under the sound of my voice this morning and those who are listening right now through simulcast, that you will move us, that we will not have concrete feet, but that we will have feet of faith to march forward like Joshua and Caleb and say, God said it, so we're moving forward for his name's sake. Oh God, get much glory through your people who make up this church. We want to make much of you. We want your renown to spread across this town and spread across the North Shore because these people have loved you and have served you and have obeyed you. So God, in this very moment of commitment time, whatever it is that you have burdened upon people's hearts to do, then God, may you get the glory. May we be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand and as we sing, Jared will be here. I'm going to ask Butch if he also would come. These men will be here to pray with you. If you need prayer, you come. If you just need to make an altar out of where you are, you respond to what God has spoken to your heart. Let's not live in fear. Let's live in faith. If it's a decision that you make in your mind, a decision you need to make with steps, and you do it for something you tell these men that you need prayer for, act upon it. Live in faith and trust to God who can do it all.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.